Jesus and Buddha were ungrateful people. They were ingrates. This is Dr. Herbert Alvarelli, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Jesus and the Buddha were ingrates. Who would ever say such a terrible thing? That these two great spiritual leaders were ungrateful for what they had, and yet they were. Jesus was brought up by his parents, living in the community he lived in. And as he was brought up by his parents, he wanted to do the things that were necessary upon his heart. And so, on a return trip home, he stopped off at the synagogue and talked with the rabbis and spoke with them from the depth of his heart. And they spoke with him, this young man who was 12 years old, just getting started on his intellectual understanding, and yet he could confound and make profound the remarks that he gave to these learned men. And they were delighted and surprised, but his parents were not. They felt Jesus should have followed everyone else home and not lollygagged around and gone off on his intellectual soirees, trying to find out what was going on in the world and discussing things. They thought he should have been home. They waited for him at home, and his father had work for him to do in the carpenter shop. He had things for him to do around the house, and Jesus was not there. Jesus' brothers and sisters, they were there. They all did what they were told to do, and they all were very proper children of their parents. Jesus was kind of different, and he had many talents that his mother and father were right pleased with. They didn't lay too much measure to that, except that it was there. And Jesus could do things, as he did at the wedding, to create water into wine. You can be sure that at home he did many of these same things, and his parents and family were quite familiar with his ability to do them. And they did not think it was anything spectacular. They did not think it was anything magnificent or unusual. It was just that Jesus could do those things, and he did them. And he did them quietly. He did not want to make a big noise in the neighborhood about it. He didn't want to be different than in any of the other boys and girls in the community in which he was growing up. He wanted to be ordinary like everybody else. But within him sparked the wonderful qualities that were far beyond anything that any of his peers knew. And they didn't understand him, and they didn't try. Geniuses today or any day are not understood by their peers. The children who are raised with other children who are most remarkable, they don't think too much about it. They just each say, well, he's good. He can do that. He's wonderful. Or she has so many beautiful talents. She's got those things. And it's not a matter of them being different. It's just a matter that they have them and they do it. And it's accepted, totally accepted. Not a matter of being something special, being something unique. But the children are expected to follow in the trade of their parent. And the boys are expected to follow in the trade of their father. And in the case of Jesus, the father had been a carpenter. And he was expected to follow in that trade, and he learned the trade. But he wanted to go further. He wanted to go further, and so he wanted to become a rabbi. And his parents said, all right, you want to become a rabbi? Go ahead. And Jesus was more or less ingrateful, an ingrate, in not being appreciative of what his parents offered him at home to be a carpenter. But he went to school, and he learned from the rabbis, and he became a rabbi. And in becoming a rabbi, that too was not enough. for something inside of him said, this is only the surface of who I really am. And he was not ungrateful to the rabbis who taught him, although he appeared to be ungrateful because his knowledge wanted to excel and go beyond. His awareness wanted to reveal to him and his world the greater things, the more wonderful things. And you can be sure that his magic, his mysticism, his uniqueness was demonstrated while he was in the rabbi school too, because that's something that was most normal, to be yourself. And Jesus certainly was himself. He did not flaunt it, he just was it. And the rabbis took it as a matter of form that among all of the students who come into their world, some will certainly be geniuses, and some will be most remarkable. They will be the messiahs. They will be the people who are carrying out some message or some inward calling that the others are not interested in. They would rather just stay with the standard book reading, with the standard program, with the standard learning. Jesus didn't think he was doing anything wrong, but he walked away from his father's house. He walked away from his father's teaching. He walked away from his world in which he grew up. And he went into his schooling. He went into his rabbi school, and he became a rabbi. And obviously he was an accepted rabbi because he finished his training with them. But within him was a calling. Within him was a magic that said, hey, that's just the beginning. That's just the groundwork. And once he began to recognize who he was, that he was divine, then the groundwork no longer held any importance to him. Regardless that it held no importance, it was the way to reach the people. It was the way to reach the people in giving them the Hebraic teachings that he had learned and that he had been aware of. But he was ungrateful to his mother and father. And he says, let the dead bury the dead. I must go and follow my way. And he said to those who would follow him, who would understand what he was teaching, he said, let the dead bury the dead. In other words, let the past be past. If anyone is dying, and in those days when people were dying, the family was expected to gather around them and mourn as they were dying and be with them in their last moments. Well, Jesus did not proclaim such a situation. He said, let them alone. Move on. You cannot help those who are choosing to die, those who are choosing to be gone. And Jesus' words to all those who were dying, you only sleep. You only sleep. For in truth, there is no death. For in truth, there is life eternal. These were some of the things that Jesus faced and some of the ways in which he was ungrateful for the training that he had. For he had to be himself and move on. He had to take what he had gained and compound that into a greater understanding which his own inner teaching taught him. Buddha was much the same way. He was raised as a young man called Siddhartha. And his father was a king, and he had much wealth. And the boy was raised as a special child, a special prince. And he had three homes for the different seasons of the year. And he was kept from knowing about death, illness, poverty, unhappiness. He was refrained from knowing it. He lived a life of games and luxury and happiness. And his father wanted him to only know that. He didn't want him to know the other, which in a way was quite wise. In a way, it was quite a glorious gift that he was giving to his son, that he didn't know these things. And so, as the son grew up, he did not know these things. He did not experience any of them. He did not hear any of the desires to know about them. But then one day, it came along to him that there was something in this world that he was not aware of. Something came into his consciousness that said, hey, I feel a sort of mystical understanding that I'm not truly getting through to. And being the genius that he was, although he was not considered a genius, he just was. He was a prince, and of course a prince is supposed to be a genius. But he said to his dad, Dad, I want to see the outside world. I want to see outside the gates of these places that I have my homes. I want to be there and go there. Now, it's true that he went from one palace to another of the three palaces for the three seasons that he had. But during his trip, he had never had the desire to look around. He merely was pompous and into himself and happy, and not looking for the world around him. And one day he heard a plaintive call, something that spoke to his inner self, and said, if there is anything that is not harmony, happiness, peace in this world, I want to know about it. Because I am a prince, and it is my duty to help the world rise above anything that is not bad, because all should live in paradise like I do. And so he left his father's house, he left his wife, he left his children, he left his world in which he had pure luxury. He was an ingrate, and his father did everything he could to stop him, but nothing the father could do could stop the Buddha, could stop Siddhartha, because he was ready in his heart to make his next step. He was in his 20s, and he was ready to understand the world. He was ready to step out and see what was going on. And as he became aware more and more of it, he saw people who were attempting to find their inner self by flagellating themselves from the world, by denying themselves from all worldly things, all the pleasures that he had known. And he joined these people. And in joining these people, he did not become more sophisticated. He did not become more sincere in his walk, in his talk, in his path. He merely came to the realization that denying the outer did not reveal the inner. That if you did not train yourself to live in the world as a beautiful expression, example, then you were nothing. And once again, he was an ingrate. The men who followed him, because he was such a dedicated being, he showed them by his own intuitive beingness, his dedication was sincere. When he changed and stopped being flagellation as the theme for his self, they stopped following him. They said, you have not chosen to continue the way. And he did not. He was an ingrate. He did not. He had learned from that experience the lesson that he chose to learn. And the lesson was that there is always change. There is always growth. There is always expansion. Now, the next lesson that he had to learn, which made him even further ingrate, was a lesson that all exists right now. All is one. all is ideal. And in his innocent way would be the best way to say it, in his innocent approach, he was going to end all suffering, end all death, end all negative aspects of life, and have life be as he knew it as a young man growing up, all in paradise. Now the world and you, the world and you have a tendency to look at the Buddha and think, what a novice, what a he just was so innocent. It was just so unreal that anyone should end evil, should end sickness, should end poverty, should end death, that anyone should think that such a thing is even possible. Well, he showed this was possible, and he showed it in his life, and he taught it to those who followed him. He said, in all things, look for the beauty and the goodness. In all things, look for the truth. Now, his father became, in essence, a student of Siddhartha, because his father had taught Siddhartha to look only for peace and goodness. And his father's kingdom was maintained, by and large, in peace. His father's kingdom was maintained so that this idealist condition could exist. Siddhartha knew that. The Buddha knew that. And this is what he went out to teach. This is what Jesus went out to teach. Both happy ingrates following their own path, not grateful at all to the path behind, not saying, I needed that path to learn the new one, but by saying, I put aside my childish things now that I am adult. By saying that illness, death, unhappiness, poverty, all these things do not have to be. They are creations of a mind that is grateful for the wrong purpose. So we look to worship our teachers and our parents and our upbringing. We worship it and we say, oh, how wonderful it was. And if we could follow the teachings of the Buddha and the Christ and realize that we are not supposed to be looking to the past, we're not supposed to be saying that that which brought us to where we are is that which is who we are. Yes, just as Siddhartha became the Buddha, Jesus became the Christ. They were merely, as the Buddha means, the illumined one, the aware one. As the Christ means, the illumined one, the aware one. How interesting the words should be so similar. And not so interesting, because in truth, when we become illumined or aware, we put aside all that is past. We are ungrateful to our past. We no longer praise our teachers. We put aside the past. We take all the pictures of the past. We take all the memorabilia of the past. We take everything which is past. And we let it be gone forevermore. And we live now in a most marvelous, wonderful, fantastic, glorious world right now. For the world of right now is spectacular. The world of right now is glorious. The world of right now is complete. The world of right now has no limit. The world of right now has no aspiration. The world of right now is fulfilled, complete in all aspects. Whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. And as we think on these things, we are these things. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We are these things. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable. We are these things. Man, know thyself. We are these things. Every great philosopher, every philosopher who's not even known to be great, but truly is, teach to listen within. To find by listening within, not by listening without, but by listening to the divine within, that we have a spiritual revelation, we have an illumination, we have an awareness of our true beingness. And as we have this awareness of our true being, we are spiritually illumined beings. We are spiritually illumined beings that need nothing from the outer and live totally in peace and harmony. What could we gain from the outer? What could we gain listening to the world about us? Well, the world wants something to follow. The world is looking for a leader, and you and I, we are the leaders. You and me, we are the leaders of the world. We are the leaders of all life. We are the way showers. We are the light. We are the way, the truth, and the light. And because we are the way and the truth and the light, we are lonely ones. Lonely because from the human standpoint, nobody understands us. Nobody understands what we are sharing, what we are being, what we are doing. For the rest of the world wants us to be grateful for the world in which we live. And we are not grateful for the world in which we live. We are the world we create by our thought, by our ideals, by our wisdom, by our genius. We can be a member of the flock, or we can be the leader of the flock. Whether we like it or not, we are the leader of the flock. Everyone is the leader of the flock because they chose to follow whatever pathway they chose to follow. And if the pathway they choose to follow is a path that has another leader, then that's what the way they go. They follow that leader. Churches develop around the world because charismatic leaders, charismatic ministers, charismatic beings follow the philosophy that that church is teaching. And some of the teachers are ne'er-do-wells. They just say what someone else says. But the real leaders are the ones who themselves have learned to meditate, themselves have learned to introspect and go within and find their own pathway, which far excels any pathway that any other would lead us to take. Buddha and the Christ, each were way showers, and many others too, and they showed the way to themselves first, and they followed the way that they showed. And many interpret what they did as being teachers. And they are not a teacher in truth. They are a way shower. They are a symbol. They are a role model. And they are the role model first to themselves. And as a role model first to themselves, they live what they believe. And living what they believe takes them in a contrary stance to what humanity has been taught, what humanity has trained itself to think is its reality. And in that light, they are considered an ingrate to whatever the world is around them. And as these great teachers or great leaders or great beings have said, if I be lifted up, all the world is lifted up unto me. So if we be lifted up, we will look at the world from a new point of view. If I have the idea that life is eternal, then I no longer look toward death. I re-understand death, not as ending, but as a continuance. I do not look at poverty, for poverty is because I have a need. And if I am all things, if I am the fulfillment of all things, if whatever I choose to enjoy, I see myself enjoying, then I have no poverty. If I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body, I have no death, for death is only when I think about it. And as I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body, every day in every way, I understand more completely who and what I am. I disappear from the sight of others when they no longer are ready to see as I see. I am gone from them. They might call me dead. They might call me passed on. They might call me ascended, illumined, or whatever terms they want to use. But I merely live in my own inner self. And as I live in my inner self, I am unaware of anything other than the purity of my being. Now you say, this sounds very selfish and very one-pointed and very me-ish. And that's true. And that's exactly what the Buddha, the Christ, Muhammad, every other teacher around the face of the earth have taught. Me, I, as I walk my path, I illumine my awareness. I am complete in all things, and I need nothing more. Yes, sometimes we confuse the messenger with the message. And we look at the things that the messenger has gone through, and the messenger is us. And as we look at the things the messenger has gone through, we think that that is our reality. And those are merely memorabilia that we put aside to no longer think about, but rather to think about the now, to think about the divine now, the perfect now, the beautiful now, the allness that we are. And as we think of this allness that we are right now, we are that allness. There is no other time in which to be who we are. There is no other place in which to be who we are. There is no other being of which we are. We are that now. Are you ready to walk that path lovingly, gently, setting aside all the past, setting aside all the memorabilia that tells us life has given us these experiences, and live in the now as though there had never been a past? As though you had never had a parent or brothers or sisters. You had never had a community or a world in which you lived. But you live in the now, the ideal now, the paradise of now, in which you are the master. You are the all. And all that you create, and you do create all that you create is good and very good, a perfect mirror of you. Wouldn't that be a glorious resolution and of who we are? Think about it. That's what we're experiencing right now, but we're experiencing it commingled with the past. And when we can separate it from the past, separate it from anything other than being now, then we live truly in the ideal, spiritually illumined being that we are, now and always. It is done. It is done. It is done. I love you. I love you. I love you.